that he should be received up. You know, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. 52, and he sent messengers before his face. And they wanted, and listen, saints, God will always send somebody. Before he come, he'll always send somebody to warn you or tell you. So as they walked on this journey to Jerusalem, he sent messengers. That was James and John. He sent them, and they went before him. And they entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, to make ready for Jesus. Verse 53, and they did not receive him. The Samaritans did not receive them because, you know, his face, the Bible says, was as though he would be going to Jerusalem. That's how the Bible characterized it, is that his face was as if he was going to be going to Jerusalem. And verse 54, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, when they saw this, these people did not, they didn't recognize Jesus. They didn't want to let him in to the city. And the reason is because the Jews and the Samaritans, they weren't getting along too good. And verse 54, and when his disciples James and John saw this, you can tell by the way this writer is telling this story, that they were not pleased a bit. They were upset. They, you know, they didn't like the idea that Jesus wasn't welcome in Samaria. You know, the Jews and the Samaritans, like I said, they didn't get along very well together. They said to Jesus, this is what the disciples said, Lord, will thou, they say wilt, but the word is will thou, that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah commanded. Do you want us to call down fire from heaven like Elijah did? And the disciples knew, they knew some things because Jesus had taught them many things. But the disciples knew that they had the power to call down fire from heaven because they knew Elijah had did this, you know. But what they hadn't learned yet was how to cast out those devils until Jesus showed them as they was on this journey. See, we don't know all things, but if we keep following Jesus on this journey on our way to heaven, everything will be made clear to us. We're not going to get it all in one day, in one time, in one month, in one year. As we walk with God, he will make things clearer for us. And in verse 55, Jesus answered the question, should we call down fire from heaven to consume the Samaritans because they didn't receive him? And I want you to listen to what Jesus said. In verse 55, Jesus turned and he rebuked them. Do you know what a rebuke is? Jesus turned and he rebuked them. And this is what he said, ye know not what manner of spirit you are of. Saints of God, do you know what manner of spirit? This is the subject of our lesson. Do you know what manner of spirit you are? Do you know?
Redeemer, on Facebook at Evangelist.
Go with us, yeah.
we like to call you Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger,
but
on a tree.
Like to save man, the tea.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to talk to you about how to handle burdens that are too heavy for you to handle. How to handle burdens that are too heavy for you to handle. Now listen, all of us have burdens.
Yeah.
But sometimes there are burdens that are too heavy.
Yeah.
For us to handle. I want to tell you what the scriptures say. Would that be helpful to you? Well, again, Romans 15 and 4 tells us, wherefore those things which were written aforetime were written for our knowledge, our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. For whatsoever things were written aforetime. So that means everything that's in the Word of God was written before this time. And why was it written before this time? So it could help us during these times. That's why the Word is there, to help us to be able to go through and grow through what we're going to. I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 55 and verse 22. Psalm 55 and verse 22. And I need you to understand there are three observations I'd like to make about this verse that David encourages us with. Psalm 55, verse 22. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Begin reading now.
Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer righteousness to be moved.
All right. Let's start over again. Read it a little slower, beginning now.
Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer righteousness to be moved.
Amen. You may be seated. Sometimes we rush through scripture so fast that we miss what the scripture is saying to us. Now we know what the words on the page say, but do we realize what the word is saying to us? I have an intimate love affair with the Holy Writ, and I spend time with it, and we spend time together. And it talks to me. Now, some folk might think I need clinical help when I say the word talks to me, but matter of fact, I may be studying one verse or one part of a verse, and the verses seem to come alive right before my eyes. And if I stay a little too long on one part, I could hear the other part screaming, say something about me. I've got something to say. And when we look at the Word of God and spend time in the Word of God, God reveals to us in the written form what the spiritual part of His existence means. In other words, anybody can pick up the Bible who can read and read the words on the pages, but it doesn't mean that they understand the words on the pages. That's where the revelation of God's Spirit is needed by His Spirit to help us understand His Word. The psalmist here in this 55th number is sharing some interesting things with us, and I want us to get a hold of this if you're taking notes. There are three things before we ever get to the verse that he deals with. The first one is in verse 5, where it leads up to talking about his fears. Now, one of the things that he reveals about fear is that fear many times causes us to desire to flee from a place, from a person, or from a problem. Fear wants us to flee from it. In other words, many of us don't want to see what the end is going to be. We'd rather run rather than to deal with the realities of what's in it for us. So he talks about fleeing from his fear, or that he would that he were a bird, that he could fly away. But then he gets to verse 9, and it moves from fear to fury. Fury. He's now furious with the foes and the wrongs that they have done him. And his mind now is stayed on both the wrong and those who did him wrong. And that's problematic as well, because one of the things you've got to know from Scripture is that vengeance belongs to the Lord. He said he will repay. So you've got to learn how to put things in the Lord's hand and let him work it out. But now, finally, he moves from fear to fury to faith in verse 16. And in verse 16, he begins to put it all in the Lord's hand. And my brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that nothing in our lives will truly change until we learn how to trust God and put our problems, our burdens, our situations in God's hand. And then now we get to verse 22, and in verse 22, the A portion of that tells us what instruction to do when we can't handle the burdens that are too heavy to handle. Listen to what it says. Cast. Pause right here. Cast. 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 Cast means to throw away from you with vigor, with force. It didn't say lay, like sit it down or lay it down. It says cast. There are things that we no longer want that we cast out, especially those things that don't belong to us, those things that injure us or that are injurious to our feelings, our emotions, our situations. We no longer want them around as quick as we can get rid of them. And with force and velocity, we cast them away from us. That's the meaning behind this word, cast. Thy, your burden. What is your burden? Whatever that bothers you beyond your ability. Whatever bothers you, listen to me, young people. There are things that you are confronted with that many of us at our age and stage have never had to deal with at your age. Never had to deal with in terms of peer pressure like you have. Never saw any of the things. We've never seen situations that you see. And so we're dealing with a very different evil in this day and time versus our time. And yet you need to know that when it's too much for you to handle, you can cast your burden, your problem, your situation, your issues, whatever it is that bothers you, you can cast it upon the Lord. Now listen, what I love about the instruction is it tells us what to do, and it tells us how and where to do it. Cast our cares up on the Lord. See, if you cast them anywhere else other than upon the Lord, they may be like a boomerang and come right back to you. Might not be today, might not be tomorrow, but you are going to have to cast them upon the Lord, who knows what to do with your burden. Well, Pastor, how do I cast my care? I'm glad you asked. Spiritually speaking, I mean, we're not necessarily talking about the reality of picking up a physical problem, but because most of this is in the spirit. Matter of fact, all of our problems and situations and circumstances begin in the spirit. So if you really want to head them off, if you really want to tackle them, if you really want to get rid of them, you need to deal with them in the spirit. And here is how you do it. You take one hand. This is the hand of prayer. And you grab that problem off your shoulder and you cast it off of you. But sometime you're dealing with something that's been on you so long. Something that's so heavy, something that you don't share with others, with something that bothers you, depresses you, oppresses you, something that make you cry in the midnight hours, something that you're afraid to tell others you're going through, and that requires two hands. So you take the hand of prayer on that problem, and then you take the hand of faith and grab the other part of that problem, and with two hands you do like a power lifter and you lift it off your shoulder and throw it. I wish I had a helper here. Because your problem is you've got to get it off of you and on to God. See, that's your he's not going to come take your burden. The Bible says cast. You've got to be the one to give it to him. Why? Because here's what the Lord knows. If he takes it from you, you might take it back. But if you cast it off of you, he knows you've gotten to that point where enough is enough is enough. You've gotten to that point where I've cried my last tear. You got to that point where you said, I can't go another step further. This is it. And when you cast it upon the Lord, what does the Lord do with it? Well, there are two schools of thought about what he does with it. But there is one solution. One school of thought is that when you cast your burden upon the Lord, he absorbs it. Somebody say absorb it. Listen, like a sponge, he absorbs your problem. Because what's too heavy for you is nothing but a light thing to God. What you can't handle, He's able to handle. Matter of fact, he was trying to find a solution the other day when he asked the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And so he couldn't find anything that was too hard for him. So he asked the question, is there anything? Can somebody come up with something I cannot do? Can someone come up with a situation I cannot handle? And no one could do it because he's God all by himself. So here, one school of thought says, he absorbs my burden. But another school of thought says, he dissolves my burden. He dissolves it. In other words, what comes as a hard solution to him just melts like butter on a hot stove. And it dissolves from this hard problem to nothing. Now let me say this. To me, it doesn't matter whether he absorbs it or dissolves it. Here's what I know. He resolves it. Somebody didn't hear me. That's all I need to know is that he will resolve my problems. It doesn't matter to me how he does it. That's his business. How he handles my burdens and my troubles and my trials, my situations and my issues. He knows best how to handle. He said, give them to me. And that's my job, to give them to him. It's his job to handle it. That's the instruction. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Now, the B clause tells us what is insightful for us. We have the instruction, cast our cares upon him. But now we have the insight. What is the insight? When we cast our care upon him, the record is clear. What shall he do? And he shall sustain you. And he shall sustain you. Matter of fact, do you notice when it gets to that part, the problem ain't even in the picture? It doesn't say he's carrying your problems and carrying you too. The problem ain't even in the picture. It says, and he shall sustain you. In other words, that problem you had, you just couldn't seem to solve. You tried and you tried, but you kept getting deeper in, but then you gave it over. And you stop worrying about it. And guess what? Him too. Because it ain't even in the picture. What is in the picture is you being sustained by him. What does sustain mean? It means to maintain. It means to contain everything necessary to hold you up. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've gone through something and you didn't know if you were going to make it through or how you were going to make it through? And then faith kicked in and you said, but I know I'm going to make it through. You see, when you stop focusing on the problem and start focusing on the problem solver, then one of the things, the first thing he's going to do is deal with you. with you. He's going to sustain you. He's going to hold you up. Listen, even if you fall in his hand, may I suggest to you, you can't fall too low.
All right, Doc.
Psalm 37, 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. But the next verse says, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. See, falling don't mean that you're down. You got to recognize where you fall. And when you fall in the hand of the Lord, that's the place where you ought to fall, because that's the place where you're in the hand of someone who cares for you. And because he cares for you, listen, he know the only reason why you fell was because you were no longer able to stand. And then he gives you the strength to stand back up. He fortifies you. He is able to give you his strength to stand through your struggles. So we move from instruction to insight, but I want you to see the inspiration, and I'm closing. I'm closing. He, the Lord, the same one David said is his shepherd. He, the Lord, the same one that Reb Mays read, is my light and my salvation. He is the one who says that I am that I am. It is he. And I think you need to hear this inspiration, because listen, when you've been through the storm, isn't it good to know that the sun will shine? We've heard the truth saying, into each life, some rain must fall. But I told the church on this morning, rain help things grow. All sunshine and no rain makes a desert. So every now and then when the rain comes down, just thinking for the rain. Because I got news for you. It's helping something to grow in your life. So listen again at the inspiration. He shall never. Look at this, the certainty here. He shall never suffer, permit, or allow. He shall never suffer what? He shall never suffer you and me, who are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus, to be moved. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So here's the question. Are you righteous? Because the wicked will be moved. I'm going to a place where the wicked shall cease from troubling, and the weary, Lord, I wish I had the old church with me now, shall be at rest. Why? Because of what God is doing in the hearts and the lives of his people. Look at this inspiration. He shall never. That ain't on me. That's on him. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. King James Version, that word, last word, moved, is there. In the English Standard Version, ESV, the word moved is there. But in the NIV, New International Version, instead of move, it says shaken. Yeah. He